everybody. Welcome back to Top Guns with Twins. Today we have Kyle on the pod for Luke because he is out traveling. So we're going to have a good time talking about City, the festive fixtures, and captaincy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Top Ends with Twins. This is going to be a little bit of a different podcast because I think, honestly, this is the first one we've ever done, minus Luke. But in his place, we have our resident City fan, Kyle. Welcome back to the pod.
Thank you. I've been in much pain recently, but FPL has been a bright spot for me, so we're getting through it at least.
Yeah, that's very true. You've been crushing it lately in FPL, but now you are back to being immortal like the rest of us in the Premier League. Welcome yeah. back.
City have shown that they are human, but you know, like it's been coming. I'm okay with it, just for the fact that it's had to have happened at some point. We've had such a great run for so long that, you know, and I think the announcers have said it so much that, you know, that everyone says City's in a crisis for losing five straight. And if that is truly a crisis, then 90 something English football teams would love to be in a crisis. So,
oh yeah,
you know, we're still second. It's still early. We've made runs late back before, but they're just not fun to watch as a fan.
No, it's kind of a tough watch, especially today. I mean, like, you kind of thought there were like signs of like of growth and like there was light at the end of the horizon for the Champions League match against Feyenoord, and then you give up three goals in the last like 15 minutes. Like,
yeah. I wish I did not know that. For all the listeners, we're recording this on a Tuesday night, and City just drew 3-3, and I did not get to watch any of it. I was at work in the office, and I have a coworker who is also an Arsenal fan, and as he was leaving the office, he said, "Did you see the City game?" And I was like, "No, what happened?" And he just laughed. And I was like, "Did they lose?" He was like, "No, they didn't lose." I was like, "Oh, did they win?" He was like, "Oh, no, they didn't win either." And I was like, "Oh, great." And yeah, saw that they gave up three goals in the final 15 minutes. And Pep has a cut on his nose because he's clawing at himself out of frustration. So
this man is for sure consumed by the game of football. It's insane.
Oh, my gosh.
He's over there on the sideline, like, scraping his face. It literally, there was a picture where somebody quoted it and they're like, "Did he get stuck in the cage with like a lion?" what happened to him?
The picture is just kind of crazy. And
yeah, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, but enough about City. We can segue into, I guess, the other teams in FPL.
Yeah, I think we should maybe have talk a little bit more about City from an FPL perspective, Kyle.
Yeah.
So I know that obviously, Haaland is not playing at a level that he was earlier in the season where he's getting hat tricks every week. But I do kind of think that the performances are maybe lying a little bit for what he should be producing at this time. I think if you look at a lot of the games, his XG numbers are higher than usually in a lot of the matches. They're higher than 0.75, even in the games where he's not scoring. And I mean, he had a penalty today. He had one goal today, right? I think.
He had two today, but one of them was a penalty. And
one was a penalty, but I mean, if you look back at the stats from the last like four Premier League games, if he blanked, he probably should have scored two. And I mean, I didn't get to watch all those matches, but I would say that, like, I think we're at an interesting inflection point of FPL right now, where it's like Salah, but there's going to be a point too where I think it's going to swing back to Haaland. And solely, I mean, part of that is the underlying numbers like we're talking about, but also that with KDB back in the picture, it will change eventually. And the Gundogan was better today, I think, in moments. Foden seems like, we know he has to have more like run in his legs and he'll probably like turn around soon. So, I mean, I think it's a possibility maybe to buy City low sometime soon in FPL. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting in
the aspect of Holland, and I'm trying to look it up, but it's not all seeing it. But I did see a stat on well, I guess you don't really call them tweets on Blue Sky, whatever they're called, posts. I don't know, but it kind of goes to show that FPL, as much as you plan and want things to go well, is that there's also just sometimes an aspect of luck. You've hit the nail on the head, is that that Haaland's XG numbers are like crazy for the amount, like in the past couple game weeks. Here's one, game weeks 1 through 5, Haaland had an XG of 5.55 but scored 10 goals. Crazy. But now game weeks 6 through 11, he has an XG of 6.15 and has only taken two away from that, only scored two. So it's just been a massive swing. And I believe the post that I was looking for is that in the past 5 game weeks, where Salah has just kind of gone off, and it's a huge swing. He's scored, like, I think Salah scored close to like 60 points in those weeks, or something like that. Has a lower, not just an XG, but XGI, goal involvement. It's less than Haaland. So there is an aspect of just, I mean, I hate to say like luck, but yeah, if you look at underlying stats, it's Haaland could definitely have been in the same exact boat Salah's been in. He's just not converting right now. And to your point, is that there's injuries in the City side. KDB starting to slowly come back, but everyone just seems to be injured. So it is interesting. I kind of want to see. I have Haaland right now, but I kind of just want to see. I would recommend people who don't have them, who are thinking maybe to get them in on a wild card. It's hard to say, like, I wouldn't do it because it's Haaland. We all know that, yes, he's been underperforming recently, not very good, but at any point, he can just flip the switch. And then I feel like everyone's going to be flooding back to him after the first week that he gets a hat trick again. So it's hard. But I would almost say, like, keep if you have him. Don't buy them if you don't have them, but
No, I see that guy. I think part of my mentality with it is that, like you said, we know that eventually, like, basically I just see the law of averages happening right now. Like, he had that first 6 games where he was exceeding everything, where he scored more goals than he should have, and now he's kind of scoring less. So it's kind of balancing out a little bit. But we do know that he's one of the most clinical finishers in Europe and in the world too. So he will go on a run again where he probably has multiple hat tricks in like 3 weeks. Like that will happen at some point this season. So I think some of the mentality is that maybe you go a little early, possibly, if you want to. If you want to be an early mover, you can take a chance on it. I mean, you know that he has the ability to. It's probably him, Palmer, and Salah, maybe Son, that any given week against any team, they can have a hat trick. It doesn't really matter who they're playing. There's a possibility there. So, I mean, he is a really good option, but the counter to that argument is that, like, as somebody that just wild carded, and my wild card, probably I made some wrong decisions because I had three players that didn't start last week. But it still turned out to be a pretty good week somehow for me. I don't know. It was decent. But the argument to that is that if you don't have Haaland on your team, there's so many different options that you can explore. I mean, look at Cunha last week. I mean, he was so popular in wild card. I didn't bring him in. I brought in Hoyland, and that's a 16 point more than that swing, you know?
And it's hard. I've been a big fan of Cunha the past season and a half. I currently don't have him. I brought him in like last. I remember I brought him in last year for that crazy run, that not necessarily crazy, but the pretty good run he had before he got injured. And this year, just I don't think I've had him in my team, but I've always just had the thought of bringing him in. He's just one of those players. He had a slow start, but
like you said, he's picking up. It's hard, and I saw like this theory about, and everyone kind of talked about it last year with Haaland's pricing and the way that FPL is kind of set up. And this is kind of going a little bit deeper into it and how price rises and everything, but that his first price drop is a lot easier than his second in a game week, where since he's so highly owned and his price is like so high, that his first price drop is relatively like first price drop in a game week, because you can only drop twice, I believe, and their price can only drop twice in 1 game week.
I think
So
so.
their first price drop, I believe, is like after a certain number of transfers out. So say like net 40,000 people transfer Haaland out. I know it's like the number's a lot higher than that, but just saying, like 40,000 transfers out, then Haaland will drop 0.1. But then I believe it has to be like a percentage of his ownership after that. So that's why, like last year, and you're kind of seeing it again this year, that so many people are starting to transfer Haaland out, but he's still at 15.1, which is higher than he started the year at. And it's hard for me because, like, I don't want to transfer him out. I bought him at 15. If I would have sold him like a week ago, I would have sold him for 15.1, maybe have been able to like get him back at 15 after 2 or 3 game weeks. So I could have tried to play that a little bit, but just that's why it's hard to say like jumping early on Haaland, because I don't foresee, I do foresee his price probably rising again after his first breakout again. But to your point, 15 million is what we're talking about, and there's so many budget options in the forward position, and then also frees up to get maybe like three premium midfielders. I know you and Luke have talked about, what's the way to go this year, and that's the fun part about FPL to me this year, is that there's really no template, that people are starting to play without Haaland and it's working.
So that raises an interesting question for you, Kyle. If you, let's just say we're not considering budgets or anything. If you could pick three forwards to be your front line right now, who would you pick?
Currently,
Yeah, at this moment in time.
number one, and I'm happy I have him in my team, is João Pedro. I, for some reason, have just gotten really lucky with these Brighton forwards this year. I had Welbeck in. I brought Welbeck in the week before Pedro got injured. Welbeck has returned heavily, and then after the City game, brought Pedro in, and he's returned, and obviously scored 12 points. So with his form and his minutes, like it just kind of a no-brainer for me at the moment, especially with Brentford's upcoming run of fixtures, pretty favorable. So I would go definitely Pedro. Number two, I would probably say Cunha, given Wolves' run of fixtures. And again, I'm partial on Cunha. I think he's really good FPL asset. He's always involved for Wolves, so I would say him. And then the third one's a little bit more of a toss up. I would probably go Jackson. I currently have Wisa. I really like Wisa. He should have scored last week. He's kind of just been really consistent.
He always is just like, he's like a little like pest, you know? Like
No, I mean,
he's
it's one of
always
those
just
things that
floating around in these
sometimes.
awkward spots for defenses, you know?
It's on their long throw-ins. It's been twice this year that on Brentford's long throw-in that he just peels off on the back post, and they don't mark him. And after they get the first header, Brentford get like just the first header and chip it to the back post, and he's some reason always there, and obviously not the tallest player on the pitch or anything, but should have scored last week. He's kind of just like there, kind of sometimes, like how Salah isn't really in a game, but just somehow like one chance through goal just kind of chips away. But Jackson has kind of gotten off of that. You know, he's going to miss all the chances. He's starting to gain confidence, put some chances away. Chelsea are playing well, playing consistent. So that's just kind of, with Brentford kind of falling off a little bit and not being as consistent recently, that's why I would kind of lean a little bit more Jackson than Wiese right now.
Yeah, I get that. And honestly, Kyle, mark your calendars and everybody else out there. For game week 15, we're going to have a repeat of Chelsea at Spurs from that game last season where there were like, what, three red cards. Jackson had a hat trick with like Spurs playing a back line with like nine men. So like that's going to be a really fun game. So everybody keep an eye out for that one. But I agree with Jackson a lot, Kyle. But I do think there's it's really funny this Premier League season because I feel like week to week we have performances like West Ham beating Newcastle. And when in all reality, I personally never imagined that West Ham with their current form were going to go to Newcastle, who I thought were turning a corner. And then there's just been a couple, like a lot of performances this season where I think it just shows the Premier League is so deep. I mean, like Spurs going away to City and beating them 4-0. I mean, I don't think anybody predicted that. I mean, we knew that City were kind of in like a downtime, and Spurs just tied to Crystal Palace.
And going into the game, everyone was talking about that would be the game that City come out, because Spurs had, you know, they didn't have a first choice center back. So
yeah, it's honestly, this Premier League season is crazy, but it does make it kind of spicy too as FPL managers, because we can kind of invest in lower tier options. I mean, think about the forwards we were just talking about. I mean, Jackson is kind of a higher price, but you have Cunha, who is what? He's 7.7. Or, you know, Wiese, who is what? Like, I mean, 6.1. John Pedro's about like 5.5. Wiese's 6.1. And I mean, another asset too is possible is Delap. I mean, he just seems to be scoring goals against anybody this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then like there's just options everywhere really in this game. And I think the fun part of it is really how they priced the assets this year in FPL. But I mean, you can even go. I mean, like I think there's still a shout for Isak. I mean, they play Crystal Palace this week away. They play Liverpool at home. That's a tougher one, but they still have a good run of fixtures going forward. And I mean, I think it's a strong possibility that, I mean, you can play this game in a lot of different ways, which is really exciting, you know?
Oh yeah, I mean 100%. Isak, little unlucky to. I mean, I didn't get to watch all of the Newcastle game, but from what I saw, it just kind of seemed like things weren't clicking for them. And that's, I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but that's also probably going to be the thing that with the upcoming festive fixtures, that there's just going to be a lot of inconsistencies. Players and teams are going to start getting tired, so there might be a game where you would think they should run away with it. It should be an easy game, but they might get surprised. And a game where you might think Isak should score three goals, he scores none, and vice versa. So that's the fun part of the festive fixtures. And and like you said, the way that they priced all the forwards this year, and not necessarily just the way they priced them, but who's been performing, has made it very interesting this year. And we haven't even mentioned Chris Wood, who is probably the best budget striker that is one of the best, if not the best budget striker out there. So it's,
that's something too, that, I mean, I've been on this podcast where I kind of talked about my reservations with Nottingham Forest, and I think we're starting to see them come back to reality a little bit. But I think, mm-hmm, in all actuality, I mean, they are a much better team than they were last year. They have Chris Wood, who's just scoring goals for fun right now. And I mean, their defense is viable, but I do think at times that I would not invest in Chris Wood going forward, because I don't know if it's sustainable, but I was wrong about it in the beginning of the season. So who knows?
It's crazy. I mean, what's he at? 6.6. So, I mean, again, I prefer if the budgeting, I mean, you got Wiese at 6.1 under him, same thing with Joao Pedro. Dalap, just other people who are below him who are also returning. So,
Yeah. Well, Kyle, let's go ahead and take a look at the festive fixtures going forward. And then we can kind of bounce around some different ideas for captaincy choice and then maybe get out of here and go to bed because we're both working men and we got stuff to do in the morning. You know?
Yes. It's just not, it's also not the same without Luke.
I know. I miss him too, but we can't tell him that.
Yeah.
Luke, I would have never tell him in person. Oh no, that's funny. But so Kyle, do you have any teams you think that you're kind of targeting for the next probably like 5 or 6 game weeks? Any ideas about the festive fixtures going into it for other managers out there?
Yeah, it's festive fixtures. I mean, we, like I kind of said, it's really tough to plan for, especially with some of these higher teams that are in other competitions, City, Liverpool, Arsenal, all the people who have popular assets that are also, you know, just coming out of midweek fixtures, might start seeing some rest and rotation in squads. So definitely just something to be aware of. Personally, I like one team, I'll go back to them, Wolves. Just I feel like they have a really good run of fixture and things are starting to click for them. Also, yeah. In this festive fixture, I really, as much as I hate to say it, I like Arsenal's run. Yeah. I mean, you do have, you got what, West Ham, United, and then United, Fulham. But right in the heart of that festive fixture, you got Everton, Crystal Palace, Ipswich. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that could be really good potential to get in maybe a Saka, an Odegaard, someone who might be able to haul there. But again, then comes into the question of rotation because both of those players coming off of injury or, you know, we all know Saka is probably like the golden boy. He always has an injury, but for some reason, Arteta will never sit him.
Dude, Saka could like lose a leg and Arteta would be like, get out there.
Yeah. He would be in the midweek press conference. Saka hasn't trained with us. He's carrying an injury. And then captain starting. So, and then with Odegaard coming off of a pretty, pretty major injury, I could see him maybe getting some rest in there as well. But, it's a risk with that run of fixtures. It's a risk that maybe I would like to take. And then obviously Wolves, if you have Cunha, I think that's a great run for him, who they have.
Yeah.
Next couple weeks. Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham, Ipswich, Leicester. So that's a pretty good run. And I feel like Cunha is probably pretty nailed to play most of, if not 90 minutes of every single one of those matches.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kyle. And I think another team to highlight too would be, I think, negligent on our job on this podcast if we didn't mention Chelsea. Because, I mean, their run of fixtures is crazy. I mean, so they basically have Villa at home, which I honestly, at this point in time, I think is still a pretty favorable fixture for Chelsea. I think they've been better than Villa this year. But I mean, like I said earlier, we never really know week to week what's going to happen. So who knows? But then they play Southampton away. We know that's a great attacking fixture. Tottenham away, that's a good attacking fixture anyways. Even if they have their first choice center backs, like, you know, Cole Palmer can go crazy in that match. And we saw the chaos of last year, like we mentioned earlier. And then there's Brentford at home, Everton away, Fulham at home, Ipswich away, Crystal Palace away, Bournemouth at home, and Wolves at home. I mean, I don't know. There may be a better point in the season, but I don't know if one of the better attacking teams has a better run of fixtures for us to target as FPL managers. So I think, like, Jackson, like you said, Palmer is obviously a premier option in FPL. So, I mean, and I think having a defender too for Chelsea in that run of fixtures is good. I mean, we know Sanchez is going to try to hand goals away to the other team, but if he doesn't, I mean, they lost the clean sheet last week because of a stupid pen in the, probably, in, I think it was like the 92nd minute.
Yeah.
But I mean, I mean, that's the thing though, is I think I fully like just given up on my team with getting clean sheets. I'm just like, what's the point? Like, it's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, if well, I think it was 2 weeks ago that I had like three clean sheets in my back line and I was ecstatic. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. Robertson, Aitnori, and Robinson all had clean sheets. So that was a pleasant surprise. But yeah, I hear you. And something to note, kind of add on to what you said, is that the good thing with that Chelsea run is it extends beyond the festive fixtures. So there will be time even after that where you might have a Palmer Jackson that will have a full week rest, and not be too bound up with injuries or rotation risks there. So yeah, absolutely a good shout for Chelsea as well. I would love to get Palmer in, but I was stupid earlier in the season and transferred him out after a couple good game weeks. But then he just continued to rise, and now it's really hard for me to see myself getting him back in the team without going without Holland.
Well, so the interesting thing too about Palmer is I think there's actually a debate to not have him. Because, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, so they played Leicester away, he had 2 points. Arsenal at home, 2 points. United away, 3 points. Newcastle at home, 10. And then it goes 2-6, 25, 8-3-6, 17-2. So, I mean, realistically, I mean, like, it's impossible to sit here and be like, oh, I'm going to transfer out Palmer and bring him in another week for the right fixture and bring him out and everything. He's just one of those players that has the ability to massively haul in any given week. I mean, he scored 4 goals in 1 half this year. Like, that is stupid things from Cole Palmer in the best way. But it's hard not to have him because, I mean, Kyle, in those weeks where, like, if you don't have him, if he has another 20 pointer, that's super tough to recover from. Like, you just have to have such a great week. So it's hard not to own him. But I do think it may be possible, you know, because if you time that out and take the averages, you know, it may work out.
100%. I was really lucky. I had him for that week that he had 25, and I think it was the first week I transferred him in, maybe the second week. He was very, very unlucky not to score a goal against Leicester.
I thought Luke, me and Luke were watching that game in our living room, and I thought there were almost tears rolling down his face. Like, but I mean, what can you do? I mean, honestly, Medwicke, he did, like, he tried so hard to get out of the way. Like,
Yeah,
he really did. And it's just,
you saw Palmer. He wasn't really upset with them. They were laughing about it afterwards. It may have been a different story if Lester did end up coming back. But
very much
yeah,
so.
and for those who do not know, Luke captained Cole Palmer, so that is why the tears were almost flowing. But
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a good thing to point out.
I agree with you, is that Palmer, as much it's really nice to have him in your team, and it would have been really nice to have kept him at the price point that I got him at. But I think the like you said, the thing that always puts me off about Cole Palmer is at that price point, and I guess it's maybe hypocritical of me because I don't bring up this argument with Haaland, but he can haul, but there's so many weeks where it's just a two-pointer, a three-pointer, maybe an assist, but it's you always feel like there's the possibility of him hauling, but it's not always there. But if you don't have him on the week that he does, it just really is a gut punch.
It's tough to recover from that. But I want to highlight one more team before we move on to kind of captaincy choices. I think that Spurs may be a viable pick for the next 4 game weeks. I think like somebody like Son, possibly Johnson, is a lot more cost efficient, but also James Maddison seems like he's making himself a viable FPL contender, maybe. If you want to take a differential shout there, I mean, he may not be, I don't know if what he's technically ownership at wise, but I mean, the Spurs team is very high and low. We know that they're kind of, it's kind of like the Cole Palmer conversation where they're kind of hit and miss all season, but I mean, they can score 4 away in Manchester, so If they can do that, they can do that to anybody realistically. And with Son, with they've had some injuries too, with Son being out and everything, that maybe they're starting to figure it all out. And once we see those center backs get back and they have like more consistency in the team, I think that I just think over the next four, I mean, like they play, what is it? Villa? No, it's not Villa. It's
Fulham, Bournemouth, Chelsea, Southampton.
Yeah, and then it kind of flips to Liverpool at home. But
yeah, Liverpool. But then they come back with Nottingham and Wolves.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's a viable thing. That's, I don't think many people will necessarily be targeting Spurs over the fist of fixtures. So I mean, I think that's honestly sometimes a good way to play FPL too, is considering what other managers are doing and how you can kind of like make a little rank gain, you know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I would, my thoughts on Spurs would just be I would not target a defender. Yeah. But to your point, I mean, some of these are really easy fixtures, but Spurs are the team that we just saw can go to any place and put up goals. So mm-hmm. that's what makes their midfield and attackers so interesting, because you know that there's going to be goals when Spurs are playing. So
no, you for sure do.
It could be a good differential. It's just hard to pick, because obviously, like, Madison just scored two goals against City, but he also is like getting rotated with Johnson, so mm-hmm. it's hard. You kind of have to play that game of rotation risk. But if you wanted to go with a differential, obviously you could go Son to try and play it safe. But Son also gets subbed pretty early. Which would be definitely something that is going to be a worry with the festive fixtures and the backup of the schedule. So,
yeah, but that is something that I think we've highlighted a lot on this podcast too, that Spurs usually are going to create their chances from the left wing, where there's going to be a lot of opportunities on that side, which, I mean, it's kind of balanced out with Brendan Johnson being better this year. But I do think that Son will have, any given week, he's one of those players that has the ability to score two goals and have an assist, and we know that he actually, I don't know if we know, are we sure, is he on pens?
I don't know who Spurs have on pens. Have they had a pen this year?
No, I don't think they've had a pen this year. I think there's a conversation, it could be Solanke, but I really do think it's still Son.
Maybe Solanke, I think Solanke did take one, but yeah, I mean, we obviously didn't even talk about Solanke, so it I'm not 100% sure who takes pens, but obviously Son, like you said, is just, he's a different class.
Yes, he's the kind of player that you hate seeing in a rival team.
Yeah, I love him as a player, but yeah, whenever he plays City, he always seems to score against City too, which is really
annoying. unless the title's on the line and he's in a mess.
And Ortega is in goal.
I will never forgive Son for that, but it's fine. But Kyle, I think kind of to wrap up, let's go ahead and discuss some captaincy choices for game week 13, and then we can call it quits and go to bed.
Sounds amazing. Do you want to start, or you want me to start?
Sure. Let's. I think the low hanging fruit. I think that Jean Pedro probably is a great captaincy shout this week. I am
laughing because currently I do have my captaincy chip on Jean Pedro.
I mean, I think it's great. I mean, go ahead.
It's, you know, no, yeah, it's, who do I have my vice captaincy on? I have my vice captaincy on Saka. It's really hard after that, because like, you have Wisa and Mbeumo who are playing Leicester, shaky back line. I also, as much as it scares me, I think it might be a great week, another great week for Salah. City are leaking goals, and you're talking about the number one team in the Prem, and Salah, the king of FPL, he typically shows up in pretty big games. And with Liverpool, with City kind of leaking goals, and I see I am worried about that game as a City fan, but for FPL, I think it could be a good week that maybe a lot of people don't captain Salah because they just see Manchester City, but he could haul, and that might be a really good week to get kind of a bump because people are worried about that fixture.
Yeah, I think part of the conversation too, Kyle, I know this really shouldn't matter, but I have reservations about captaining Ja Pedro just solely for the reason that it's the first fixture on Friday. Like,
I did not know that.
It always scares me so much to do that because, I mean, like, realistically, like, there's something about having a captaincy on Sunday that makes your week, you're like, okay, well, I've had no returns in my team, but I have the captaincy on Salah against City. There's always a chance, you know? I don't know. It's something about the mentality. Obviously, it doesn't have an impact on anything, but like, I don't know.
I 100% agree. People always talk about it. It's a common thing in FPL Twitter and stuff is that you typically don't want to captain someone who's playing first game of the week, especially a Friday or an early Saturday morning. But yeah, because it definitely can make for a long, painful FPL week, say if João Pedro does not return, and then knowing that there are so many people who have a captaincy chip on Osaka, Awisa, and Abuemo, Asala, it can make your week pretty long, especially if one of them score pretty early in the game. It's scary.
Oh, it is scary. And that's part of the thing to keep in mind too. But like, I think there's a couple other captaincy shots. I think Palmer, any given week, he could be a great captain. I know Villa, we'll see what that fixture plays out as. I'm not sure exactly where I know that fixture is going to go, but then we also have, I think a sneaky one could be Isak against Crystal Palace. This is a decimated Palace team that have been better lately. I mean, they tied with, last week, which I don't think any of us expected, and maybe they're just figuring out how to be more of a compact unit rather than relying on like Eze and Mateta, but rather just playing as a whole team. Maybe they're figuring that out, but I think Saka is a great option too. I know you mentioned him a little bit, Kyle, but like Arsenal with Odegaard just seem like a different beast. Like they seem like this is the Arsenal that was supposed to easily challenge City for the title this year at the beginning of the season. And with Odegaard back, it just feels like the energy's really, really, really back in this Arsenal squad. But I mean, also, like we said, Spurs last week scored 4 against City. They play Fulham this week. That's going to be a fun match, and I think there's going to be a lot of goals in there. So we'll see. If you have Jedi Robinson, I would not start him this week. Let's put it that way.
So, oh, man. Just a quick side note is that I had Jedi in my starting lineup this past week. And then I switched him out for Lewis. And after Robinson ended on 0 points, I was like, I made such a great decision only for Lewis to end on 0 points.
Yeah, it's a good thing for both those players that they can't go negative. Like,
man,
unless you get a red.
It was pretty funny. Great captaincy pick shouts. It's it's an interesting week. There are some... No real clear. I mean, you have some favorites, obviously, but there's no one really clear because there's no Salah to play a Leicester. There's no Haaland to play a Southampton. Nothing like that. So I think we'll see pretty spread out captaincy picks this week.
Yeah. If I had to guess too, Kyle was kind of talking about the game week itself. I think that we're going to see this next game week is going to be a very high scoring game week. I think there's going to be a lot of goals. I think there's going to be a lot of, but we'll see. It may not be from the places we think. So it may not be some of the premium options. I feel like it could be, but I just think we're going to see a lot of activity this week. And another note too, before we get off the podcast, is that next week we do have a midweek fixture rolling around for the Premier League too. So those games will start Tuesday, December 3rd and be played Wednesday, December 4th and Thursday, December 5th. And then we roll into the next weekend where we have the next game week. So that's something to be prepared for, because this is when it gets interesting as FPL managers, because you see people start to fall off where they're like, I didn't realize there was midweek fixtures and everything. They don't set their teams, they don't use their transfers, and they have people not starting in their team. So this is honestly a time to really make up rank gains, because as much as I hate to say it, but it's kind of like sometimes in my job, if somebody's out, like people will lose some of their candidates. This is also a time too where if you're not attentive and you don't pay attention to your FPL team, you're going to lose your rank gain too that you've put in time for. So
yeah, 100%. And to your point, quick turnaround in you know, fixtures and game weeks, but also a positive of that is that if you plan correctly, you can start to stack some transfers, and you can do a pretty good overhaul of your team pretty quickly. Obviously there's still game weeks and stuff like that, but you know, if you have this weekend and then boom, Tuesday we have the next game week starting, so there's two free transfers right there in the span of 3 days. So it's just something to start planning for. Festive fixtures, like Paul said, some people just start to, and it is okay if obviously life gets in the way, if you're not able to set your team, like this is the holidays for people who celebrate, so make sure to take some time, be with family. That is why Luke could not be here with us today. He is spending time with family, so make sure to take time and do that. And it's okay if there's a game week where you don't make a transfer. You don't have to make one every week, or if you just happen to forget. And sometimes forgetting to set your team could affect you.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the bus team is such a commonly used phrase in FPL, the idea that, like, if you stepped outside and got hit by a bus, you know, that's the team that would be set. So just in all actuality, I mean, Kyle's exactly right. This is a game. It's not the priority in the grand scheme of things. We love to talk about it, we love to obsess over it and everything, but like, it needs to be played with balance too, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think, like,
what Luke, at Luke.
Oh man.
Go ahead, Kyle. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. The bus phrase, I think it was last year, and I obviously don't remember the team, but they had like a stat that halfway through the season, if you picked it, and it was like really easy, like the budget was like 89, and it was like if you set and forget those players on your at the beginning of the season, you would have been in first by like over 100 something points. It was absolutely crazy. That goes back to the point that there is also a lot of luck in FPL, as much as we plan for it. But yeah, it's a fun time to play. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to keep my good run of game weeks going. I think I'm at like 152K at the moment.
Nice.
So I'm
our mini league.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very happy with where I am. I know, Paul, you're starting to come up.
Yeah, slowly. It would be nice. I'd feel a lot better about my team right now. Like, I feel good having three Arsenal assets and like the premiums that I have at the time, but the extra parts of my team kind of suck right now, because I could have just gone Cunha instead of Hoyland. I could have gone like all these different options. But like you said, those transfers will build into my team if I give it time, and I'll be able to make more like surgical cuts to it without taking hits, which I think is really important too. Because taking hits is just a silly way to play this game, but it's really hard. You know, you get so wrapped up in the game week, and you see Wolves playing. Who do they play this week? No, not Wolves, but you see Brentford playing Leicester, and you're like, I gotta have Wiesa. I gotta have him. I need him in my team now. And it's so hard to not make those transfers and be emotional about it, because at the end of the day, you take a -4, you need that many more returns to actually be positive in that. And it just snowballs, you know?
Yeah, people tend to think that, you know, Wiesa's playing Leicester. If he scores a goal, then, you know, I cover myself. But yeah, he scores a goal, that's great, but you took a -4 to get him in. So it's like essentially your break even at that point. And then who knows what whoever you transferred out for. And That's kind of like the different approach, because I definitely the past couple seasons have done some emotional transfers and taken some hits, and I'm trying to step away from that this year.
Yeah.
It 4 points over a couple game weeks, like especially in this game, 20 points is the difference between, probably like 10,000 rank. So it's kind of crazy just to think about in that aspect. But definitely understand what you're saying, but trying to be strategic about it.
Yeah, and I think it's like I said, it is a really fun time to be playing FPL right now with the fixtures coming faster and having to be on your toes as an FPL manager. But just make sure the only thing I would really my kind of closing thoughts, Kyle, are just like make sure that you're aware of like the team pressures and you're paying close attention to your starting 11 and making sure that they're going to be playing a full 90 and all this stuff. Because I mean, at the end of the day, I think the two main things that I focus on as an FPL manager is, are they going to play a full 90? And if they're attacker, do I think their team's going to score goals? And are they going to be a part of those goals? That's very, very basic thought process into that. But I mean, I think that would pay dividends going into the festive fixtures, you know?
No, totally agree. It's kind of the basic. If you strip it down, that's what really everyone should be thinking about. And just, I like the point that you made earlier too, with Chelsea being really good, is that you don't want to get caught up in the festive fixtures, and you still want to have that long-term outlook, because it can be really easy to see festive fixtures and be like, oh, that team has really good, and you load up on them, but now you're stuck with them, and after the festive fixtures, there's a flipping schedule. So just to keep that, it's all about planning a lot, half planning, half luck, just enjoying what you're doing. And like you said, just try and keep it simple.
I agree. I agree. I think at this point in the season, we have enough data. We have enough kind of like general idea of what these teams can do week to week. Like we said earlier too, it's very hard to predict these individual matchups when two teams come together that haven't played yet, or you have a team that is getting players back from injuries, or there's just so many different variables at play. But we kind of really at this point know who are going to probably be some of the peak performers week to week. So I think getting as many of those people in your team as possible and just having people in your team that honestly put in those minutes and put in the work for the squad, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think any other further thoughts, Kyle?
No, I think we can end it there. There's one thing I will say. I am so sad to hear in the press conference after this last game week that Salah said this might be his last season at Liverpool. From an FPL perspective, he is the king. So, I've definitely enjoyed having him in my team all season. Hopefully, if it is his last season, it'll be definitely again another twist, but just something that I remember seeing that I wanted to bring up with him saying he might leave. I think that would be absolutely crazy on for Liverpool, but
Oh yeah, they just
maybe
he's
that's
never
lighting a fire for him. Maybe that's why he's playing so well this year, is he's just like, oh, you guys didn't hit me with a contract offer. I'm just gonna bring up my value and then go somewhere else.
No, I mean that's a huge thing in the NBA community though, is that every time a contract year rolls around, you will see the highest numbers of somebody's career ever because they know what's on the other side of that really good year, you know? And
Oh,
so I
yeah.
was kind of doing that. I mean, it's calculated what he said after the match. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He discussed that with his agent.
100%. I mean,
Everybody knows, but I mean, I don't blame him. Get that money.
oh
You do what you
he's
want, Salah.
he's playing well, and honestly probably deserves his payday.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's probably right now maybe a top three player in the world.
100%. I think early on he would probably be my vote for the Ballon d'Or, just with how he's playing. So
We'll see where the season goes though. You never know.
yeah
We we could be talking about this 10 weeks from now, and it could be Haaland in pole position. Like,
Anybody. I mean, that's going to be just, I guess, final thought, you know, our final thought.
five final thoughts on.
Just for a league perspective, I think this City-Liverpool game could essentially like make or break City season. If they lose and Liverpool go, what are they, 8 points now? So they have potential to go 11 points clear. That's just, it's huge. So
it's a huge game.
That's why I think you might see a pretty high scoring game where Liverpool can get in behind, but City, I don't see City getting shut out. I think it's kind of like one of those games where no matter what the form is, I think it might be a good time for City to have this fixture because they're always going to bring it against Liverpool.
Yeah, so. I agree. You know, I actually had this thought today when I was sitting there at work that, you know, it would be the craziest thing Pep's done in his career if he played a false nine against Liverpool. I think that would be such a good move, in my opinion.
Sit Haaland, play. It'd have to be Foden at the false nine.
I think it would be Foden. But yeah. I think that's the main problem they're going to face against Liverpool, is the Liverpool's midfield is just going to overwhelm them. And if you can drop Foden kind of deeper to kind of clog up some of those spaces and like, or maybe just play Haaland a little differently. But I think that would be, and we know that Pep likes to do like crazy things like that occasionally. I don't know.
It'll be interesting. Obviously, he has a lot of thinking to do and scratching. Skincare routine.
Yeah, honestly, he needs to go see a doctor after being locked in the cage of that lion.
All right, before this gets out of hand, I think we might...
Wait, one more final thought. I'm playing. All right, well, everybody, thanks for joining us. Kyle, once again... Always love having you on the pod. Thanks for being the second twin tonight. I feel blessed to have you here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. Always enjoy it. Always enjoy talking FPL. Hope we can do it again soon. For all the viewers, enjoy. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, enjoy it.
Yeah. And
enjoy the upcoming festive fixtures. Getting to watch soccer during work.
Yeah, everybody get ready. It's gonna be gone before we know it. So enjoy it while it's here. But we'll see you next week on Top Ends with Twins. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.